Father, we thank you that you have given us ears and a heart that has been changed, renewed, in order to receive your word, because your word gives us strength, a faith, hope, amidst all adversity, everything that is against us, and it is in this world. Yet help us, Father, to feast off your word today and to be built up in the inner man, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to build us and exhort us today in faith as we prepare our hearts today for communion. And I'm calling our teaching today, as I believe God's given it, true faith is the will of God. True faith, or a believing faith, is the will of God. I suppose, as a pastor, one of the things that I've encountered in my ministry, when counselling believers, so often it comes up that they're not sure about the will of God, or what God is saying. And of course, we pray about it, we seek the Lord, and rightly so. But when we find ourselves not always sure what the will of God is in our lives, and there are a lot of professing Christians who are always going around trying to get confirmation whether it's God's will over something or whatever, because there's some hindrance that is there. And I believe the hindrance is actually believing God. It is a lack of faith. Because faith is God's will. And if we are believing, and it is God's will, then God's will shouldn't be hard always to decipher or to know. Now, there are, of course, occasions when we indeed have to wait on God, and we commit a thing over to Him. But a lot of our everyday walk and the things that we encounter should automatically be coming to us and being known to us by the fact, because we are believing God and having faith in the fact that He leads us and guides us. And so our faith keeps us in the will, or the perfect will of God, and that is His will for us. We know that the will of God for Jesus was to go to Jerusalem and face the cross. Jesus was never looking around for an alternative. He was never trying to find out what his Father's will was. He had learned, by obeying God and having faith in God, he knew ultimately what the will of God was to be for him. It's interesting that Peter didn't know what the will of God was. And we know, of course, the account where Peter tried to stop our Lord from going to the cross. So one walked and knew the will of God, walked in faith, and one didn't. And we can find these parallels that go on today. And you see, when faith is present, faith knows what is the will of God. When true faith is present, faith knows that it's to take up our cross daily and follow Him. Faith knows what to do. Faith knows what to do, if faith is present, to seek God, to commune with Him, to walk in fellowship with Him. If faith is present, faith knows in seeking the kingdom of God daily and putting that first. If faith is present, then we know, because faith is a revelation of God's perfect will to us. This is why faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God. That is God's will. If I want to know what God's will is, the word of God tells me. But I can only know it if I have faith in it and mix that faith with the word of God. Otherwise, it's merely a mental study. And you can go to any theological college and you can study the Word of God, but you don't have a revelation of God's will. And that's the problem. Faith, believing God, is God's will. And therefore our faith will cause the will of God to be accomplished in our lives, which makes us not only hearers, but doers of the word, which Israel failed at. They failed to mix faith with that which they hear. And this, of course, is the weakness and sin that hits so many professing Christian churches. They can hear the word, but they do not mix faith with that which they hear. And faith is the will of God. That is God's will, to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household, for salvation. That is the will of God. Let us turn to the great faith chapter of Hebrews 11. And I want to just break down and look at some of these saints that are recorded there that we, of course, know so well. But I think we're going to see in light today that their faith, believing God, accomplished the will of God in their life. You know, how many of us grapple about doing the will of God? We all of us fall short of doing the will of God. The things that we know we should do, we're at times not doing. We get this turmoil, this wrestling going on, you know? And it all comes down, when I am not doing the will of God, it doesn't take long to realize I'm not actually really believing. Because if I'm really believing the word of God, believing what I hear, then the will of God will be accomplished in me. Because faith is God's will. That is how he said it. Without faith, as it says in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it is impossible to please him. The only way we please God is to do his will. But we're not very good at doing his will because we are rebellious. And what's more, we don't even have to work at it. It just seems to raise its ugly head just like naturally breathing. So, you know, how do we get over these hurdles? Yes, we take up the cross as disciples and follow the Lord. But unless faith is still present, even for that, it ain't going to work. And the way we get our faith is to stay with God's word, that pure word that is taught to us by the unction, by the anointing that causes us to do the will of God. Now, I know that's no new revelation, but I think at times we do need to hear that. But Jesus knew in his earthly ministry what the will of God was to do. And one of the things that we need to learn very quickly as disciples of Christ, we need to learn that God calls us to minister, to be servants, to be last. That is the will of God. But you ain't going to walk in that and experience that unless you have faith in God and his word. You will only otherwise know that, but that will eventually condemn you. Unless you apply your faith and belief in that which you are hearing, and then that will be worked and created by the Holy Spirit. Now God reveals something to me, and I hope that this will be an encouragement to you. All God has ever asked us to do is to believe upon him. And in that belief, and that's even a gift, but in that belief, God will work it in you, both to will do for his good pleasure. And that is where the long suffering, the waiting, the endurance side of faith comes in. Why are we enduring to the end? Why are we staying with it to the end? Because it's God working His will to be accomplished in us. And the trouble is, it's not done in one day. I wish it was, because it would actually save a lot of heartache. It would save a lot of frustration. It would even save chastisement and all these things that we go through. But God knows us better than we know ourselves. So a lot of the aspect of enduring, staying with it, is that God is working His will, i.e. obedience, in us. And it's coming as we embrace and we listen and hear this word and believe upon the word of God, so that faith is released in order for then God to work His will in us. Because that's all God can accept, is His will. And it's never going to be done unless we have faith and we believe in our heart. So there's much more to our faith than actually we realize. We begin to realize by hearing this word, this is working as we believe upon it, the will of God. That is why I have no problem today, as I address this meeting and my brothers and sisters, I have no problem in believing that this is the will of God today. The perfect will of God. I do not have to rush to any scriptures. Well, is this your will today? Should we be here? Is this right? You know, and so forth. We know that it is right. And yet, sadly, you have got many professing Christians that don't always know. They're not sure where they should be. They're not sure who they are should be listening to. And so you've got all this confusion today of professing Christians going from here to there, this ministry, that church, and so on. And the enemy has a field day in it. Therefore, they're not at peace to be able to start believing the word of God in order for faith to work the will of God. And this is why so many professing Christians are not in the will of God. Satan's clever. But you know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And there is a remnant out there who are and will hear the voice of God. We are encountering more and more professing Christians who are damaged. They are those damaged dove birds with a broken wing, desperately trying to fly with those two wings, but they can't because one is damaged. But God is still in control, because like often He does, a bird that's trying to fly, and eventually it will exhaust itself because it can't fly any longer. And then God can begin to do something with us. And He's bringing many of our brothers and sisters to the end of themselves. There are, I believe, many facing spiritual exhaustion. But that is what God is purposing. He is allowing it so He can then get their attention and show that there is a true remnant, that His word is being preached, that it's not diluted, compromised, or poison attached to it, that there is a pure word in these last days that is going to feed our faith in order for the will of God to be accomplished. Because otherwise the bride will not be able to make herself ready. And God isn't about to let that happen, I can assure you. But we look to these saints here, and you know, it doesn't take long to see that our walk and trials and what we go through are so similar. And let's take it up now from verse 4. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. Now the first step of faith, the will of God, and rightly so, is with regard to offering. So offering is essential to God. Offering has to be acceptable. We have to make sure that offering is received by Almighty God. And of course, we know that here are two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain thought that he was offering that righteous and good offering. And Abel, he gave that more excellent offering, which was a sacrifice. It cost him, and that was the one that was accepted. How did the two know the difference? Why was it that one offered a sacrifice acceptable to God and the other didn't? Because one offered it in faith. And therefore faith was the will of God, and the will of God said, I accept this, because this is my will. This faith that this man has is not a cheap faith. It is a faith that is costing him. And that is why we find at times there are not many who want to walk this walk of discipleship. There are a lot of charismatics out there who get excited about faith. But when faith is presented with a cost, they want to offer those cheaper sacrifices. There it is. Do we not see that being fulfilled day after day amongst professing Christendom? Indeed, we do. See, nature doesn't change, human nature. The Bible doesn't change. These stories don't change. You still see that spiritual principle in operation. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. His faith pleased God. It was the will of God. Enoch simply just believed. And that is the faith God is working for us, an Enoch faith, because if we are to be raptured, taken in these last days, that is the faith and walk that God will look for. By faith, verse 7, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So here we are again. Faith. Noah moved by faith. It says he prepared an ark, not yet seen anything, just got word that God was going to send a flood, something was going to happen, and probably they never ever had encountered a flood before. So their faith had to be in operation. God is speaking about things that Noah doesn't really understand. How often has God moved in your life or spoken to things into your life that you don't really fully understand? Very often God works that way. There are many things that God do I don't understand, but God understands, and that's good enough for me, and I'll believe upon that. And in that right time and way, God will give me the revelation and the understanding. That's how we walk. That's how we walk. And yet you have got prophets calling themselves prophets today, telling you what the will of God is, and they've got this revelation, that revelation. I'm not saying that God can't work that way. But the point is, are we simply going to believe? We're going to believe upon the fact that we have not yet seen it, but we see it from afar off. And so we're told on the result of that by faith, Noah moved on that faith. By faith Noah was taken so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith without, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And these people diligently sought God. Noah diligently sought the Lord. It was in him. His faith was doing that, which was the will of God. So his faith prepared that ark, which was the will of God. He wasn't understanding half and a quarter of what he was doing. When you don't understand what you're doing half the time, that often tells me you're in faith and believing God. It's those that have got it all hand-packed and they know what God's doing, and God showed me this and God showed me this for the future and everything. I think, well, has he? He hasn't shown me. I just take it day by day. Because this is how these saints walked. You see, the devil, he will try and get Christians, and he'll work through other means of which to try and give you false revelations, which gives you a false hope, a false building, a false future. That's why you've got these spiritual diviners, sadly, in churches, who prophesy, give false visions, trying to tell you the future. And sadly, some Christians run off with it and make shipwreck their faith. Gosh, one could tell story after story with that. But that goes against the principle of what we're reading here. Noah just moved by faith and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. So it wasn't just for him, but it was for the saving of his household. And that's why our faith will also save our loved ones, our families, if we believe. Hallelujah. By which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So he was made righteous by faith, according to believing. And his believing was the will of God being accomplished in his life. So there's the will of God being accomplished by the building of an ark, saving his household. There was the will of God. And it just goes on. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That is faith. If you know where you're going and you're trying to plan and scheme, it ain't faith. And most Christians want to walk that way. And that's why God isn't in it. It goes completely against faith and the will of God. The will of God is he doesn't want you to know. And if he does, he will tell you. And there's a reason for it, because it stops man from planning and scheming and building his own Tower of Babel, which he does. And that Tower of Babel today is religion, the harlot. It's false. And so Abraham believed God, and on that he obeyed, he moved, and he went out, he and his family. Didn't know where they were going. You don't do things like that. You don't just start up your family and just start to move out like that. That has to be God. Can you imagine what people were thinking, and probably the pressure he had from family and all around him? By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. So they all have the same promise, the same belief. We all have the same. That's where true unity and fellowship and oneness is. We're all of the same. We're in the same boat together. That's what fellowship is about. For he waited for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So he knew that there was a city, being sojourner, living in tent. Now you need to live in conditions like that. And you need to live in a tent for many, many years, moving around, After a time, you become quite envious. You think, I would love just to live in a city. I would love just to have a house and to settle down. This is hard going, this is. It's all right if you're on your own, but when you've got a family, and Abraham, we've got blessed, and servants, and animals, and I mean, that took a lot of moving. So one should appreciate the fact what he's going through, his walk of faith. Does it seem like that sometimes with you? It seems as though God just won't let you settle anywhere. You try and put your roots down, but he won't let you do it. Because there's an eternal home. That's why. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he knew there was a city to come, a kingdom, a new hope. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Even though she made a slip up, she still remained faithful to the promise. And that promise wrought the will of God in her life. The will of God was that there should be an heir. And therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born many, as the stars of the sky, in multitude, innumerable, as the sand which is by the seashore. So that was a covenant, a new generation, a generation who would walk by faith, would come from that, and from that seed, that generation came Messiah. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're not very good at saints dying in faith. Somehow we have an idea it's not faith. We're not to judge unless God shows. But many have, and many will, if the Lord tarries, die in faith, believing. And that is the will of God. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. So some of them had the opportunity to go back. And we know the children of Israel expressed in their hard hearts that they wanted to go back into bondage or whatever. They could have. We're all free to go back. But something within us says, no, we are pursuing a homeland that is eternal, that this world cannot give, you see. How you can identify with this? You can put your name, your life, right in this chapter. Hallelujah. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I'm always interested with that. You know, today, a lot of us are trying to get out of cities. We want rural life. Let me get away from it. The hustle and the bustle and everything. But actually, God is into city life. Which is interesting, isn't it? The very thing that we're trying to run away from is actually what God is going to build and what we're going to live spiritually, environmentally in. But of course it's going to be a bit of a different city to what we understand and know as cities. But we also have to remember that Jesus also said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And we get the understanding of that, that these mansions, these places are also like arboretums. So there will be amongst this city places of which, like a parks, Now, in a lot of cities, you also have areas of parkland. And what are parks for? To go, to rest, relax, to be in a different environment. So it's interesting what we read here. Similar in a sense, because as I've always said, what we see on earth, there is a pattern in heaven to that. Because we're made in the image of God. We are, if you like, a pattern of God. With a small g. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So, Abraham had come to a place of faith where the will of God was accomplished. But we notice here, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So he'd already had received promises, and that what he had received up to this point, where God was now requiring him to offer up Isaac, those promises, what he had received, had done such a work of faith and confidence and the will of God in his life, that was a building for him to be able to do the final thing that God was going to require and want of him, which was obedience, because that is the will of God. Remember what we're calling this? True faith is the will of God. The will of God is obedience. So if true faith is there, faith will do the will of God, whatever outwardly it may look like. And outwardly, this doesn't look very good in the natural, because this is his heir. Of whom it was said in Isaac, your seed shall be called. So here is to offer up Isaac, that God is making covenant that from that seed, God was going to have a people that would believe him, a Christian people, and this is the very thing he's going to offer up. Concluding that God was able, from which he also received him in a figurative sense, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Where is Abraham getting the understanding, the revelation of that? What's telling him about that the will of God, faith, will raise him up? How does he know this? Well, there are a number of ways that God reveals this. Firstly, the understanding of resurrection was already there working when man fell. How do we know? Because of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that is God revealing. The second thing is, we get an understanding of death and resurrection through the new birth. When we become a new creation, our old life has passed away. We have a new life in Christ. And that's, of course, why we go through the waters of baptism, of which we outwardly express that. So there again, we get another understanding of death and resurrection. Every step of faith that we take, every belief in the promises of God requires first a form of death. What is that death? Our belief in the promises of God, God has to deal first with unbelief that has to die, which is the flesh. So we're all the while presented with death and resurrection. All the time is working. That's why we daily die, in order that resurrection, the life of Christ, lives in and through us, doing the will of God. That's how this man's understanding. So he's requiring this sacrifice, his only son to place upon an altar somehow. Wasn't going to work it out, but God is a God of life, not a God of death, a God of promises. And there's a promise, there's a seed to come through this, and God will provide. His faith is doing the will of God. This is the will of God taking over now in this. Oh yes, there was a wrestling. Oh yes, there's a working out. Oh yes, because he's human. But he's come to that place. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob, Esau concerning things to come. So it goes on. And God, as we know, provided a ram caught in the thicket. And there was God's provision. And they came back. And of course, we're also told, he told his servants that we will return. So faith is just working. Is he understanding all of this? No. You don't. When you take steps of faith and you move, you don't understand. It's just you're virtually being carried forward. By what? The will of God. Because you have accomplished the will of God. You have settled the will of God. The will of God now will take over. The will of God took over for Jesus when he settled it in the Garden of Gethsemane. The will of God then, when he got up, we noticed as soon as he got up, who came? They came for him. Look at all the timing of that. He could have had time to clear off and run away. But God was on the scene. The will of God took over at that point. Because unless the will of God takes over, we have no chance. We ain't going to do it. It isn't in us. And that is where we cease striving. Doing the will of God is not striving. It is yielding over. But to yield over, I'm not just saying, you can say that, it's the absence of resistance, and we've used that, but that absence of resistance takes a working. It's one thing saying it, it's another thing when God has to work that affection within us to let go and to yield over at that point. You see, that is it. So we're all a while faced with death, resurrection, resurrection, death. I suppose that's our life. That's why we're like sheep sent to the slaughter, don't you? In that sense. True faith is the will of God. And so it goes on. It goes on with how Moses, born in the courts of Pharaoh, but something within him didn't want to identify with that. He's preserved and kept when he was out to slaughter all the baby boys. And so we see that preservation there. God takes that initiative. God has to start. God sets it in motion. Because if God doesn't set it in motion, none of us have any chance. How does God set it in motion? God first loved us. That's how he sets it in motion. Else we have no chance. And by faith they forsook Egypt, as we know. By faith they lived in the desert, the wilderness. By faith they went through the Red Sea on dry land. We see faith in operation all the time. But these are all events where God allowed them to come to the end of themselves. And this is what he does. You have to come to the end of yourself for the will of God to be accomplished. Now we eventually will get it. We will get it. And we'll know how we'll get it, because as God brings us to the end of ourselves, as he presents us every day with impossible situations, we're no longer going to experience that stress, that anxiety, that depression, that disappointment, that griping, that moaning, and so forth. Where eventually, if we stay with it, we will come to that place where we just say, praise God, look at this mountain. It is massive. But my God is bigger. And I just choose to believe on the brink a disaster when you say a thing like that, because that's what it is. Often when you say a thing like that, you're on the brink of disaster, going completely under. That is how we walk. That is how all these saints overcame by faith. Why do I stress this? Because that is the will of God. So don't fight against it, brothers and sisters. As you simply believe with that childlike faith, God will work His will in and through you. The trouble is, and I bring this to a close now, we have an understanding, we have a will on how we think God should do a thing, how we should serve Him, how we should do it. And till God deals with that, that doesn't bring you any peace. And sadly, we have in Christendom today who want to serve God on their own will and their own terms. They are prepared to receive Jesus as Savior, but when you start presenting Him also as Lord, they're not so keen on that, because that goes against their idea, their will, what they want to do, their terms in following God. So many professing Christians have given the terms to God how they wish to follow Him, because they do not want to embrace the fact that He is utterly, completely sovereign. You see? And a lot of that comes as a lack of teaching in churches today. Very few churches are really presenting the sovereignty of God. Or sometimes it is presented in such a way that's so legalistic that it just frightens people completely away. So all of this is a balance, you see. Because God is also a God of great love, mercy, patience, long-suffering. He surely is. And I know He is with me. But faith knows what to do. David knew what to do with Goliath. And yet the armies of Israel didn't know what to do. And they should have. Because they're the ones who are walking. They're the ones who are listening. They're under the banner of Almighty God, Yahweh. And yet, what was paralyzing them? Fear. And fear has torment. So fear is another thing that Satan uses in order for us to compromise, to back. But you see, you have to face your giants every day. It's interesting that that's a term now we hear used in the world now today. I've noticed that one. Face your giants. Stop running away. Well, where have they got that from? It's right from the Bible here. David meeting Goliath. But you see, his faith knew what to do. We don't note that when David comes on the scene, he's already planned beforehand what he's going to do. His faith has worked the will of God, and the will of God has given him a revelation and an understanding what to do. And in this case, the will of God has worked through this young man, because this man had trained himself with a sling. He was pretty proficient. And sometimes God will use your natural abilities in which to work faith. Isn't that wonderful? So our abilities, our makeup, our character, even God will use that in which to accomplish His will. And of course, in the case of David, he did. Not with regard to his size or anything, because the giant was absolutely enormous. He laughed at him, he mocked at him when he saw him. In fact, actually, what he was doing, if my memory serves me right, he's in his blaspheming Israel back, he's actually saying, "Who do you think you men are? You're such wimps to be able to send someone out like this." He was actually offended. He saw it as an utter disgrace that Israel could send something out like this to him. But God was right behind that. God had got another story. There was another picture, another thing going on, you see. And of course we know the rest of the story. And that's sometimes how God moves us, doesn't he? He might sometimes move us into a situation where the giants are massive. And they look at us and laugh at us and mock us and jeer us. Well, what do? We go away belly aching, oh poor me, I'm rejected and so forth. God's got you there for a reason. Of course they're going to mock us and make fun of us. The Romans threw Christians into the arenas, to the lions. What was it for? For entertainment. To mock them, make fun. Now most of us will never experience something like that, and yet we find just something goes on at work, oh, you know, they don't like me and whatever, poor me. Nothing in comparison to what some of our brothers and sisters went through, or maybe are going through now. This is why, I'm sorry to say it, but in the West we're such wimps. We have everything at our disposal. We gripe and we moan. We have the best of everything. And when, for a season, a little bit of our creature comforts is removed, we can gripe and moan, and we're making the sins that Israel made. Count it all joy, brothers and sisters. They are the giants that God wants to remove through your faith. Belief in God that will work the will of God. And those giants are going to be there. You know, if you try and run away from those giants, you're going to find some other giants will appear. It's what we say. Christians are trying to run away and think that the grass is greener the other side. It's not. Giants are everywhere. They're everywhere. Your faith will accomplish the will of God that will destroy those Goliaths. They will. Hallelujah. You see, the Holy Spirit has come not only to teach us, and I'm bringing this to a close now, but the Holy Spirit has come to work out your walk each day. The Holy Spirit every day is preparing the scene and all that is involved, and all you're going to encounter, all you're going to see, all you're going to hear, all you're going to experience. The Holy Spirit has come to prepare that day by day for you. You probably don't think of that. We only think of the Holy Spirit coming to teach us the Word of God and to teach us Jesus, but he's not. The Holy Spirit has come preparing your life daily. So why should it take us by surprise? Think about it. He's there to work his will. And when you start believing, then that peace, that joy, that healing, everything we're looking for will then begin to flow. What hinders us is our fear, because we're looking to the giants. And we want to run away. Well, praise God. I know this message spoke to me as I started to prepare this. But remember, our faith comes by hearing this word, Romans 10:17. And the will of God, it comes in so many forms and ways. And that's why we walk with him day by day. We have our prayer time with him. We seek him. We seek him in those trials. We seek him for the will of God to be done. But ultimately our faith, our simple childlike faith, just believing in this word, is working God's perfect will in my life and for his church. Leave that to him. That is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to believe God will work His will and that obedience in your life. Amen.